Fendo Radio is on now.
Everybody, welcome back to Infendio Radio after a couple of weeks, maybe even a couple of months. I don't even remember what the time last time we recorded was. But I have Scott and Harrison with me. Hello, you guys.
Hi, how's it been going?
Hey, glad to be back. I believe it's been a month. I think we took our own little short little summer vacation, and even after the last one, I was wondering when we were going to be back. So,
right. And now we are. And here we are, and it's time to get rocking, because it's actually just about high time for a lot of video game stuff to start happening. I mean, Nintendo's just announced that they're going to be showing the release date and pricing for Wii U, and New Super Mario Bros. 2 just kicked off, so it's an exciting couple of weeks.
Oh, my wallet is going to hate this.
Yeah. That's right. Well, what do you guys say we get started then with some New Super Mario Bros. 2 news, since that's kind of the freshest thing on the docket. But so that game was actually just launched just this last Sunday, and it kind of kicked off Nintendo's digital initiative. And so I was just wondering from you guys, have you guys decided to pick it up? Or if you did you pick it up digitally? What do you guys think about this?
Well, I haven't bought it yet. I think if I get it, though, it's going to be the actual physical copy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the digital copies, I think it's a pretty good concept, especially if somebody, you know, they don't have a lot of space, or, you know, they just don't like the clutter of the games or whatnot. But to me, the digital-only copies, it's just not something I'm liking yet. I don't know if it's just because it's so new or what exactly, but I like to have the physical copy, you know, if I'm not at home, you know, if I just have the copy with me and, you know, I'm at a friend's house or whatnot, you know, we can play it there without having to have my physical digital copy, or I guess my virtual digital copy with me.
Right.
I still like that idea of being able to, you know, pass them around. And not only that, like in the secondhand market, you know, when if there's a game that's been out for a while, you know, I love to go and buy it pre-owned. You know, I get a little bit cheaper. And still get to enjoy the same game.
Yeah, that's right. And that's something you can't exactly, unless the Nintendo decides to have a sale on this game, which they usually don't with their first-party products. That's one thing that you won't just be able to do, because it'll always be at that same set price. And so, Harrison, I know you don't have a 3DS yet, or maybe you picked one up for this game. What do you think?
Well, I am going to tell you right now, at first, when the 3DS XL was announced, I was a little miffed at the fact that, okay, this wasn't what I really wanted at first. I wanted a slight redesign to the point where it was, like, closer, maybe just a tad bigger to the original, like, launch 3DS size, and maybe the addition of a second circle pad, to be exact. And, well, third, that would make it everything very weird. But after reading quite a few reviews on the 3DS XL, it seems like it corrects quite a few small nuances that really kind of plagued the first 3DS. You know, first ones being that, like, okay, screen glare, battery life. A couple of these other things that really kind of just addressed it to it, and I'm really thinking about maybe picking up this one. It's just, you want to know what the one thing that's really driving me away from buying it, and it's, you're going to hate it. You're really going to hate it. It's the color.
You need a different color scheme.
See, okay, I don't mind a red. I mean, I'm a red kind of person when it comes to, like, red's one of my favorite colors, along with green. But I really, really wanted an all-black console. I mean, I like the black finish in the front and the clamshell design. But other than that, I want a, like, all-black finish there. Or maybe all-white. I mean, I had that with my 3DS Lite. But to get away from, like, you know, my future purchasing of a 3DS XL is, would I possibly be picking up probably one of these? Maybe. Possibly at some point, whatever. But the problem comes with, like, I like the initiative that the company's going to, every one of their physical releases are going to be done digitally. So, well, it's going to be both, like, physically and digitally. I like the approach, but one thing I noticed from the first, like, Japanese release sales of, like, you know, New Super Mario Bros. 2 is that only 5%, and this was during its first few days, only digital sales accounted to 5% of the initial run of the game.
Right, in now, Japan, I think that was, right?
Yeah, but would that also make a bit of a concern for them as far as, like, okay, or is this just... Obviously, I could say, like, you know, this is a bit too early to tell, but do you think, and overall, this is a good idea for them to, you know, launch both physical copies and digital copies at the same time, or would they want to kind of switch it up, like, okay, here's a physical copy, and, oh, this is only available, you know, digital only?
Yeah, I'm not sure that Nintendo is too concerned about that, because I'm sure over the lifespan of the 3DS, it'll continue to gain sales. And on top of that, every single penny of that those sales are going to go into Nintendo's pockets. So, I mean, if they sell 7%, 10%, fine. That's perfect with them, because they're just getting that that revenue from that. But at the same time, I think you're onto something there. I don't think I saw any advertisements or anything about the game being on the eShop, like, be it TV or on the internet. It was just, you kind of had to just know that it was going to happen, you know?
See, this is where I think it's probably going to take some time, better advertising for to know, because as we know with Nintendo's online presence, it's, you know, they're getting out there. They're getting out there as far as, like, when it comes to, like, their online infrastructure, that they're, not to say that's going to be rivaling what Xbox Live or something like PlayStation Network has, that they're trying to actually, you know, push a little forward, you know, get out to the point that the area, like, of this gaming world that they've been trying to avoid, well, wouldn't say avoiding, that they've been kind of been backing away, you know, shying away in the corner. But is it really to the point, like, the one thing that really bothered me about, like, this online digital price to it was, well, it wasn't necessarily the size. I mean, you know, obviously they cost both the same, like, around $40. You'd one have to think, like, maybe give a bit of an offer to those who want to buy them digitally only. I mean, those who want them physically. I mean, if you want a physical copy, yeah, you have to buy it for around $40, which, of course, I will go on as the longest rant saying that how 3DS or even PlayStation Vita titles really need to kind of look at their pricing as far as their software titles are. I mean, 30 may be the benchmark, but it's just really going to 40, you're going to the point where, yes, these are getting to console-like experiences, but you have to separate the fact that, like, this is a handheld.
Right, yeah, and it's a... I mean, I actually ended up buying the game digitally, and it was $34, so $34.99 for a digital game. That's actually the most expensive digital purchase aside from, like, any Steam games that I've purchased before. So I was kind of I kind of had to train myself to do it. But the reason why I did purchase it digitally is because I figure this is a game that I'm going to want to come back to time and time again, and I'm not going to want to have to carry around a game case or have to stuff some cartridges in my pocket. I mean, I just boot up the digital version of it, and there it is, ready to go. So I'm happy with my purchase. I'm happy that I ended up buying it digitally, but at the same time, I don't have my, you know, the cool case to put in my cabinet or anything like that. Fair. I don't really have anything to show for it.
How long did it take? I think one thing they should do, you know, at least with it being fairly new for Nintendo to try out this, you know, this marketing technique is, you know, do something like Blu-rays have done, where when you buy the Blu-ray, you get the DVD copy and the digital copy all in one.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
I think that would be a great way to go, especially with some of the titles like the Mario Brothers and some of their core titles. People are going to buy the game regardless. I mean, I think Nintendo knows that. But I think the big thing is, you know, they really need to get it out there. So the physical copy is great, and I'll always be for the physical copies. But if they gave me a virtual copy, or even included like a secondary deal where you get the virtual copy at, you know, just a discounted cost when you own the physical copy, I think that's great. I think one issue I've had, you know, in the past, maybe kind of put it you know, maybe a bad taste in my mouth. This is when we bought the new American McGee's Alice Part 2, mm-hmm. It came with a digital download of the first game. I owned the first game at one time. The disc got pretty scratched up, and you know, I don't have it any longer. So I downloaded the digital copy for the Xbox 360, and the hard drive went bad on the 360.
Right.
So I've had such a hard time downloading it, trying to get it back on the new one. I just gave up doing it, because the code, of course, doesn't work any longer, and it we're having some issues with it. So, you know, I think there's just too much issue for you know, it being lost there. And not to mention that what happens if you purchase it now and, you know, the Wii U is, you know, a past system. They have the next generation system out, and they stop supporting those downloads. If anything happens to the hard drive on the device, what happens to the game. Is it gone forever? Are they still going to support those downloads?
Right.
I think there's a lot in the future to look at there.
Yeah, and that's actually something that Nintendo's kind of struggled with too, because of the it's really hard to get your Wii games, the WiiWare games, from console to console. Actually, I don't even know if it is possible at this point. But I think Nintendo has said that they're going to work on a system to get transfer games from Wii to Wii U, and hopefully now that they're kind of in their second generation of the online world, that they're going to figure this out. But I think you're right. What happens with these digital games? Does it just get lost in the cloud, or what goes on with them?
Exactly, and I think it's one of my biggest worries about it. I mean, I still have a physical copy of Super Mario Bros. 1 and Duck Hunt here in my
house. Oh, nice.
exactly, and I'll have that forever, because those games, I mean, I don't think anything's going to destroy those games. Mm-hmm. But, if I had just when Nintendo first came out, if they only had the virtual copies at that time, I would almost bet that I wouldn't have that game any longer.
Right.
Now, how long did it take? I know I'm getting really off here. How long did it take you actually to download the game initially? Well, digitally. I mean, I've heard everything up to like that wait overnight, or it would just download it with ease.
Well, when I downloaded it, it was probably no more than 10 minutes. It was pretty quick, actually.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Wow.
So the game, I want to say that it's only like maybe a gigabyte or two. Not even. It's not a very big download. So it's it really didn't take very long. So I was actually real surprised. I was prepared for it to take a long time. I actually even put on an episode of Breaking Bad to ease me over. But then I had to pause it. I had to pause my Netflix to play some new Super Mario Brothers.
Priorities.
I say that those are bigger priorities, especially when you have like a very good television show. It's like, yeah, I'm sorry, I gotta go do this. So.
Right.
But no, one thing I have to add, like, do you talk about the game initially. I mean, from the few reviews I've heard so far from, be it IGN, GameSpot, Game Trios, that it's been, it's more of the same, but the whole coin collecting, like the whole coin rush mechanics of the game actually adds a little bit more to the replayability. But one thing I also heard from like an early, not sure if it was an IGN review, I can't think of the top of my head, but they thought that the coin rush mode really kind of deters away from the whole single player experience. That is, you could be having you could be going through the game trying to get all these like star coins, for instance, and you go to one area, like a hidden area, which you need a certain power up to get, to turn these blocks into coins or to reveal these new secrets. You get there and you find out it's just nothing but coins, which you could have used for the coin rush mode, which you weren't playing.
Right.
That's the one complaint I've heard so far. Other than that, it's, the new Super Mario Brothers series is, its own separate entity from, the galaxies and the sunshines. I mean, it's its own little product that trying to, keep the whole 2D Mario spirit alive, even though it's cut and paste, cut and paste.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's really good. I gotta say that it is more of the same, yes. I mean, but there's a couple of new additions, like it's really cool when you get the golden fire flower. You turn into a golden Mario, and then everything kind of turns into coins. That's pretty cool. And it has an area effect too, so then you're not just having to shoot every single block. It, like, kind of expands out, and then we'll get a radius around where the fireball exploded. And then there's like the golden rings are pretty cool too, because it turns all the enemies into gold, and then you get X amount of coins for each enemy you kill while that timer is still ticking. But at the same time, it is just a lot more Mario. The levels are interesting. I haven't finished it yet, so I imagine once I get more towards like World 6 and some of the special worlds, I'll see a more variety of levels. But so far, it's been kind of more of the same. Not to say that the levels are bad, but I mean, not so much of a variety as, let's say, like going from Super Mario Brothers 2 to Super Mario Brothers 3 on the NES. I mean, that was just groundbreaking at the time.
Probably the best comparison I could probably hear about, this was a review in it was like one of Wired's reviews, and It's the one criticism you hear from like the Mario Brothers series is that yes, you have such this form. It's very formulaic, and the fact, I mean, the same thing you hear certain fans complain about the Zelda franchise, how it's not really evolving the way some fans want it to be, or not evolving the way how the industry sees it to be. Which, of course, you know, that's why should I have to abide by the rules of the industry at all? I mean, it's surviving well on its own. It's surviving just well on its own. But you have such a cut and paste like style of gameplay, but yet it kind of keeps you guessing in certain ways. The one thing, the best comparison, this was really kind of came out of nowhere from this review, it's basically, think of it this way, it's one of those mini crossword puzzles that you get either in the newspaper. You're going to sit down and play it, and it's still, like, you know, figure it out. It's still fun to you and to certain people, I mean, but the, you know, the design may change, well, the layout of itself may change, it may still feel and play similar, but yet you're still going to play it. Or, well, it's essentially, you know, you're still going to get a fun, have an enjoyment out of it.
Right, and that's basically how this pans out. I mean, it is really fun. And the levels are different from what previous Mario, New Super Mario Brothers games have been as well. I mean, there, you can definitely tell it's from a different team of developers. Apparently, it's from a team of developers that have never developed a Mario title before, so they were trying to.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so they were trying to develop just like the best levels that they could, and then that kind of evolved into what the game is today with adding the coins and everything. So that's pretty interesting. Nice. Interesting there, but what I really want is like the next 3D Mario game, and yeah, we got that on I guess in Mario 3D Land, but more I wanted to see something more Galaxy style, and you know that's actually kind of something that we're gonna have to wait until Wii U launches, I imagine, and perhaps on September 13th in New York City we'll actually find out when the next Mario game, the 3D Mario game, is gonna arrive. Maybe they'll talk about it there, but so Nintendo actually revealed to like Kotaku and a couple of other publications, they invited them to an event in New York City on September 13th, and they're going to talk about pricing and dating and things like that. So does this excite you guys at all? Are you guys ready to finally learn more Wii U knowledge before it launches the end of the year?
It excites me that I'm able, well, judging by the date, I'm able to finally, you know, watch an event like this while I'm not on work. So
yeah
I am really kind of, yeah, I'm excited for this, but I mean, I kind of found it funny how certain publications, like few publications, were finding like, oh, what could this be? I'm like, it's easy to read between the lines. I mean, you know, you got this date coming up. I mean, they had to release a release date soon. But a bit of concern came out to me yesterday that this was from, formerly of G4, Adam Sessler mentioned how he doesn't believe or he doesn't find the Wii. He believes that the Wii U coming out in this kind of like this fall in this type of an environment wouldn't be that very good as far as the console, because yet you're when the Wii first his basis for this comparison was when the Wii first launched in 2006, you already had one console in the form of the 360, you know, already a year into this generation, and of course the PlayStation 3 had already released about 3 or 4 days prior. You're going into the, you know, as a console, you're going to this one, and the only competition you're going up with is make sure that your console is selling more than the one that just released up to you at this point, and hopefully it goes well from there. You can catch up to the first console that actually released the year before.
Right.
Whereas in this one, you still have, you know, PlayStation, you still have Sony and Microsoft prominently releasing some titles this fall, you know, decently good AAA titles, be it, you know, Black Ops, Halo 4, Borderlands 2. I mean, and that's not to go to the fact that a lot have been delayed into, like, you know, 2013, you know, Last of Us, Aliens Colonial Marines, which, yeah, of course, I do believe is going to be released on the Wii U, in addition of, you know, Bioshock Infinite. Now, his reasoning behind, like I said, the reasoning behind this is he doesn't find it's actually that good of an idea to actually, you know, release it at that point. Now, if I can just find it real quick, he he said he was confident that it being delayed, the console being delayed to 2013. I don't see that at the point. Like, yeah, I understand his point to the fact that, like, this is a very different environment when the Wii launched, but I find that a bit a suicide tactic of, not him, of course, of, like, Nintendo even thinking of releasing this past the holiday. It just doesn't seem, I mean, yeah, you've had different consoles across, like, you know, different generations release, you know, not so much near the holiday, but in a prominent point where it's not close to like 10 months before the holiday season. I just don't find this idea, like, very viable. I mean, I still believe this thing's coming out in November, but do you kind of see the point where Seth was going with this?
I'll go ahead, Scott.
Well, as you say, I don't think I agree with that either. I mean, I think that with all the hype that there's been so far with the Wii U, I think that if they – you're exactly right. If they did delay this until after the holiday season into next year, it would lose all confidence in the system. I mean, people would – any other rumors that came out or any potential launch dates, people would just, you know, kind of throw it off like the boy who cried wolf. So I think that it has to come out this year, and I think that this conference is where it has to be announced, especially if it is coming out this year. It gives people some time to prepare for the launch date. I would hope that that the date is you know a pretty solid date. I hope they're not going to say coming out in November or in October or
right.
in September. I hope they actually give an actual date, and if they give the date, they'll have to give the price. There's no way they cannot give the price at that point. I think it's just close enough where they have to start opening some doors and letting people in and kind of showing off, what they have. And I hope, too, that, maybe there's some extras that we're just not aware of, some extra surprises that they're going to throw out there. You know, one thing that, I guess is kind of funny in a way is how PlayStation has actually, they're doing an update for the PS Vita. Where you can actually use the Vita as a controller for the
right.
PlayStation.
Yeah, I've seen this.
And if you own a copy of the game for both the Vita and the PlayStation, you can kind of swap back and forth between the two. And that tells me that PlayStation is a little bit threatened by the launch of the Wii U and this just the system as a whole. So I definitely the Vita is not going to be there. I mean, the Vita and the PlayStation 3 were not meant for the same purpose as the Wii U is.
Right.
Although with tweaks and upgrades and so on, they can do it. But then again, you're buying two devices. I mean, you're spending over $600 potentially for the systems, and then not to mention the games you're going to buy and so
right.
on to get even a fraction of the features the Wii U is going to give. So I think that Wii has to release the system this year with pricing, and I think that they have to announce it here pretty quickly. And September is the perfect time for it.
I think it's very safe to say that an actual release date is going to happen. Like, I mean, not said, oh, it's coming in November. I mean, an actual pinpointed date. I mean, we knew probably from a guesstimate that this is going to be releasing this fall, like this holiday season.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of was whether this is going to be late November or early December.
Right.
But if I had to shoot up a guess, I'd have to say definitely the week before, Black Friday. Now, the one question you have to ask is, is there going to be – well, two things. One, what are some good predictions on this price? And two, is there going to be a pack-in game? For me, I feel like Nintendo Land would probably be the perfect pack-in game to this, and maybe, mm-hmm. They would do the same thing for Japan where it's not necessarily packed in and spotted separately. And as far as price – I don't see this thing being priced under $300 would be the minimum for this as far as being a price. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked at all if it's $350. At $400, maybe.
Yeah, I'm not sure if the Nintendo is going to launch it at $400. I'm not even sure if they're going to be able to hit the $250 mark. I think that the sweet spot for them is probably $300. Only because of I'm not exactly sure how much it's going to cost for this screen. Given it's not capacitive, it is resistive touchscreen, so that's got to be helping with costs. But Nintendo's always been one to want to make money on their consoles, so I just don't know if it's going to hit that $250 price point. Although we did get a tipster recently that had said that one of the retailers that he had contacted about Wii U reservations said that they're actually taking reservations at three different price points, three different SKUs, at a $250, $300, and $350 mark. He actually didn't want his name to be revealed, but he wanted to let us know about this. And I called GameStop and a couple of other places, and they didn't confirm or deny anything like that. So I can't really comment on the validity of that. But what do you think about a multi-skewed Wii console, maybe one with including a hard drive and pack and game, one that's just a console? I mean, does this make sense for Nintendo?
I saw the same tipster, and I did the same thing you did. I called around and tried to see if I could get some information on that, and unfortunately I couldn't either. Nobody wanted to give any information if they even had anything.
Right.
A multi-pricing system, I think it could work. I think it would be a little bit harder for Nintendo. But, it worked for Xbox. I mean, they offered different versions of the Xbox and 360 at different price points. And it did work. I would just hope that if they do something like that, that maybe, if it's like hard drive space is what drives the cost or whatnot, I hope that the hard drive would be removable and maybe upgradable or whatnot. So if somebody does get the lower price and finds out that they just need the extra space, maybe they're buying only virtual games or whatever the case may be at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, I hope that's expandable. But, I don't know. I mean, it'd be something new for Nintendo, but it could work, depending upon the reasoning for the price difference.
That's right. And going back to actually what Xbox did, it what's really worked for them is that they've been able to change up their SKUs so much that now there's one with Kinect, there's one without Kinect, one with hard drive, one with no hard drive. I mean, and they've been able to keep the price of the Xbox 360 relatively high. So I'm sure that's helping them profit wise. I'm not sure it's helping them with their consumer-wise, because how confusing it is for the consumers. But
one thing that, as far as like when it comes to confusion, even though this was finally confirmed about a couple weeks ago, is like the Wii U's software box art was actually confirmed, and it's mm-hmm. Very it's pretty much almost like similar to what the GameCube GameCube box art mm-hmm. was. And it's got a nice little it's a curved top to the portion of the top of the box, and the entire case is the outside of the casing is, light blue.
Mm-hmm.
That itself I like, because it's going to be able to separate itself from, looking similar. Because the one thing I really did not like about the Wii U name was it just felt like it was just an expansion pack of sort, some kind, whatever, to just the console itself. Now, when you have something like this where you just separate the color differentiate from it, yeah, it's going to separate the whole thing, make sure, okay, this is a new console. Now, that's one thing I liked about it. Now, when we're talking about as far as different console boxes, with different, like I said, with one Wii U console, which is the tablet, one with the tablet and, maybe some Wii controllers, if they're going to be doing one with a console box with, with some Wii U, with just, regular Wiimotes, you would have to think, would you think it would be a great idea to maybe, lower the price of the Wiimote, since this is going to be, last generation, controlling device, even though, yes, it's going to be used alongside with the Wii U in some sense.
Right. Yeah, and I think what's great about these box art, actually, back to that, is I actually really like the blue casing. I think that's going to look really cool.
I think it's a really good design. At first, when I first saw it, I was a little – I thought maybe it was fake just because it was so similar to the GameCube. But,
right.
Just looking at the few cases, I mean, the blue really pops on there, and it really lets you know that it is Wii. So regardless of how dark or light the actual art is on the front of the case, that Wii U is always going to stick out at you. So I'm really digging it.
Right. Yeah. So I don't know. I think Nintendo has a lot of things that they need to talk about at this conference that they're going to be holding on September 13th. Whether or not they decide to actually reveal what they need to is another thing. I mean, I think for one release date price, that has to happen. I mean, there's no way around it. We have to know by now if it is indeed launching this year. We have to know this by September, just so consumers can already be planning on their holiday shopping. People like to know early what they're going to be spending their holiday dollars on. And on top of that, I think Nintendo needs to not reveal too many of their cards, but needs to talk about a few games that are going to be coming post launch. So then to get people excited about, not just things that are coming holiday time, but reasons to buy it and to continue supporting the Wii U after they purchase it. They need to have some kind of an assurance that a Mario or a Zelda or a Donkey Kong or something like that is being worked on
now,
at least.
Now, would you think with that, when you mentioned that, do you think, okay, if I had to pick probably maybe the three major titles that they would use to center around this entire console, aside from ports, Batman, Arkham City, Armored Edition, and Assassin's Creed 3. The three that I would have to initially think that the exclusive ones that they probably market around, actually, let me do it for this one, two being Ubisoft titles, Rayman Legends, which I did not realize is going to be exclusive, which I find a very good idea because I felt the console, like the game, well, Rayman Origins being scattered across like four different consoles really didn't do as much well for its sales, and plus it kind of confused the market, and plus one reason why it didn't do so well, released in a bad time frame and bad advertising.
Right.
But if I had to say the four titles, that's a lot of we got some dogs.
they like Rayman, it's okay.
They do. They really do. But if I had to say the few games on there, Rayman Legends, New Super Mario Bros. Wii, or, well, you, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I'm getting...
It's confusing.
The names are very... I mean, this is... It's an off-branch of an off-branch of a handheld title. It's you're getting to these titles that's like, God, there's going to be... they're hyping away from making me pull my hair out. No, New Super Mario Bros. U, Rayman Legends, Zombie U, and Nintendo Land. Now, this gets me thinking. Do you think it would be wise for them to maybe push Pikmin 3 into 2013, or would they find this game would be selling a lot better if it was set at launch?
You know, I from what I remember of the original Pikmin, which actually launched at the with the GameCube, it was kind of one of those evergreen titles, one of the ones that never really sold fantastically when it first launched. But then, lo and behold, when you look at the sales at the end of the GameCube's lifespan, I mean, that's a 2 million plus seller game, you know, and that's pretty good for a title that really is kind of niche. So I don't think that it's gonna really matter when it launches. Yeah, it might get kind of crowded with all the other Wii U games, but at the same time, it's gonna still be sitting on the store shelves, and people will pick it up eventually. You know, that's not a game that I think people are gonna be super excited about at the launch. But when maybe summertime rolls around and it's maybe a little bit of a dry spell, they might, you know, pick it up at GameStop for used or maybe new on Amazon when Amazon is holding some kind of sale or something on it. You know.
Yeah, and it just, I don't know, when you mentioned about, like, okay, you're trying to spread this out because this company can't really go the same way how they're treating, like, the Wii at the moment. Like, you know, spreading out these titles to the point where it's a year away or 8 months away. They need to kind of get, you know, as being the first, you know, the first man out of the gate, whatever, for this generation, they got to learn to have to, like, well, not learn, they just got to know how to spread a couple of these titles out. That way they keep the flow in, and then maybe when you get that summer dry spell, you know, these other titles are able to, you know, ease the pain, like, you know, ease everybody away until, like, the next fall comes in, and then the next generation of titles comes in once you actually launch, you know, a couple of your AAA juggernauts.
Right.
Exactly.
So,
and I think they do have to spread them out a little bit, too, because, you know, if they put all their big titles out right away, you know, whether it's at launch or just after the first year, just after the holiday season, you know, the excitement's there. People are playing the games and really hyped up about the system. But what happens when, you know, Sony or Microsoft or, you know, I believe it's the Ouya comes out for the Android system. When those come out, they have to have something left up their sleeve that's going to draw people back to the Nintendo and keep them there, you know, people that might stray and try to check out the new features and new systems and so on.
Right, right. Yeah, and that's a good point there because, like, Nintendo's going to have a hard enough time marketing the Wii U and some of their other first-party games. You've got to imagine that Nintendo Land's going to get a big spotlight in their promotions, but what's going to happen to Pikmin? Are they going to get kind of left in the dust with their advertising or what? That's a good point that maybe they should spread out their titles so then they can, you know, focus on a couple of them at a time, you know?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, one of the ways that we used to be able to get these advertising was through Nintendo Power, and actually now it's come to light that they're going to be closing down their doors, which is really sad. Actually, I mean, this is one of the oldest video game magazines around at this point, and it's really sad to see that they've actually closed their doors. I used to get a lot of information from Nintendo Power, be it like maps for like Castlevania games or strategies for how to beat the final boss in Mega Man, but I mean, you know, it's kind of crazy to see that after so long they're finally going to be closing down. So what do you guys think about this? Do you guys even still subscribe to Nintendo Power, or what's the deal there?
Well, I have not been a subscriber since around my freshman year of high school. That was the last time I think it was right at the height, like right at the height once the Cube and the Game Boy Advance were up there. But this was way, this was about five years or so before Nintendo handed off the publishing duties to Future.
Right.
Which, of course, I think it was at that point where they decided to kind of mold, like, they went through a bit of restructuring to the point where it's like, okay, we're not necessarily a prop, I mean, the magazine, when it was up to, like, its, up to its beginnings and up to, like, the early aughts, it was a Nintendo propaganda piece, and there was nothing wrong with that. I mean, you know, you had to have your own piece of material, especially during, like, especially days when it became, like, the Genesis and Super Nintendo, like, wars. Those itself were, you know, that was your, you know, like, a little bit of line of defense as far as, like, you know, this is what we have as far as, like, when it comes to, like, you know, strategy guides or what's going on in this world in the news today. I mean, like, you know what? Not many people had 56K internet back in during the early 90s, so this was the only thing you had to actually, you know, learn about certain games.
Right.
And the one thing I always liked about it was, well, I loved their contest that they had for a while, and one that I remember that was really, I mean, I was looking back through the old ads, my issues, and one had a, like, contest, like Nintendo Power saying, be an extra in The Mask 2, which, of course, I'm thinking, like, wait, what? I mean, not that really bad Son of Mask sequel that came out or anything. This was back in 95 when this ad was out.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, like, did the winner ever get notified, or did he get compensated or anything? Or I really hope he didn't star in that really bad movie. I really hope he didn't. But when it came to my reactions, though, I mean, back to, like, you know, its redesign, you know, the magazine kind of went into the point where it was kind of resembled, you know, like, getting a lot more features, a lot of more interviews, a lot more in-depth reviews. It started to kind of resemble what we would see, like, what we currently saw in, like, you know, an EGM or a Play or even a Game Informer. I mean, there was really legitimate, like, good uses to it and a lot of good sections. I mean, yes, the current magazine was very different from what it began with, but, like, that, it evolved to, like, evolved very well. Now, when I first heard the news, yeah, this sounds really cliche when I say this, and I said this in my article, is like, well, I didn't say this, but it really felt like I just lost a good friend.
Right.
That really did, and it was one of the big staple video game magazines, and you could say, like, that and EGM and a slew of others that released, that started publicizing, you know, being started publication in the early, well, late 80s, they set the standard for, you know, video game journalism. And I will have to say, though, is like, this and EGM, without them, and, you know, for those who don't know, I am 2 years removed from, like, a journalism degree from the University of Missouri, and still to this day, you know, looking for a job, but these types of magazines were what really kind of shaped me who I was as far as a gamer. I mean, they kept me up to date when, you know, the house I lived in couldn't get internet. They kept me informed as far as strategies when I had a very hard time trying to get through a game, or say for, like, say for instance Super Metroid, for instance, even when I couldn't find, like, you know, find a map room, for instance, that helped me out, you know, and it helped me get at a good point to the, like, where the end of, like, Super Metroid, where you're trying to escape, you know, Planet Zeebs.
Right.
It laid it out for me. It wasn't necessarily in that one, but one of their official sanctioned strategy guides that would buy, that helped. Tremendously, because I remember a time when I couldn't figure it out, I died quite a few times.
Right. And you know what, like, you kind of touched on it here that, I mean, now that we are in an internet world, I mean, right now we're doing a call on Skype to podcast. I mean, that could have never been done back in the 90s. That just wasn't possible. The technology wasn't there. And now you can go on to a number of websites, GameFAQs, IGN, anywhere to get kind of the same information that you could get in a Nintendo Power. And most of it is free. So, I mean,
exactly.
It's kind of telling that, I mean, EGM went down, GamePro went down, now Nintendo Power's,
They went down for a while, and their owner, well, the original, like, owner of the, well,
Ziff Davis,
Steve Harris, like, yeah, he restarted the magazine up, and Ziff Davis was no more for a while, and EGM's still up, but actually, and this one thing I forgot to update in the story was the magazine has up until their last issue will be in December.
Right.
So.
Right.
I will definitely be picking up that last one as a keepsake.
Definitely.
I hope they actually put some through it there. But when I was getting back to, like, you know, as Nintendo Power and various other video game magazines being, like, my influence, you know, I wouldn't be the same person it is. I wouldn't be, like I said, talking to you guys right now, you know, about the industry that I love and, you know, I breathe daily.
Mm-hmm,
I mean, there were times where, like, when I was up into elementary and middle school, you know, when I go up to, like, you know, anytime it was lunchtime, I'd have my little Nintendo Power or EGM next to my side reading it. And yes, I'd get those little awkward looks to me. I'd bring it out to the playground because I wanted to continue reading it. You know, I didn't go out and play kickball for a while. I mean, that is later on when my subscription ran out for about a month and I had nothing to bring to the lunch table. It was my source. It really was a quote-unquote my gaming Bible.
Right.
It really was the point where I could actually feel, you know, connected to an industry where I felt like, you know, I'm not going to be a game designer, but when my writing started improving, I realized, you know what, maybe I could actually do something in this.
Right. And you're right. I mean, this is exactly where we got all of our information from. And I don't know if you, Scott, did you ever read or subscribe to Nintendo Power? Do you still subscribe to Nintendo Power? Or what are your reactions to this?
Well, I haven't subscribed to it in quite a while. And, you know, I think, you know, not to date myself, but, you know, Nintendo Power debuted in 1988. And, of course, I had the first issue. And I think for the next 3 years, on my birthday, my subscription would be renewed. So
nice.
First 3 to 4 years, I was subscribed to the Nintendo Power. And it was great. I know out of all my group of friends, I was the first one to have a Nintendo. Everybody else had Ataris and stuff like that. One of my best friends had a Sega Genesis when it came out. So, you know, him and I kind of had competing systems, but we still played both just the same. But, you know, getting the issues of Nintendo Power, you know, back then, you know, it put you light years ahead of everybody else that played video games.
That's right.
You know, I can remember, you know, going to tell my friends, you know, all excited, you know, they're going to come out with Super Mario Brothers Part 2, and you can play as Toad, the Princess, Luigi, or Mario, your choice, and different enemies, different, you know, Wart, this frog is the new boss. It's no longer, this shelled lizard anymore. Mm-hmm. And, you know, back then it was just like, you know, I knew it all because I had Nintendo Power. And, you know,
Yeah, that's right.
I had the power. And, you know, not to say that it gave me cool points back then, but it kind of did. You know, I was kind of the cool kid. But a lot's changed since then. I'm no longer that cool kid. But, you know, I mean, but really, I mean, it was a great thing. I mean, I can remember, you know, all the different features. It wasn't just about maps or new games. There were a lot of articles and, you know, little trivia and stuff like that here and there that really, you know, made it what it was. It wasn't, you know, a stale magazine. It was always something new and always something exciting in there. I mean, even not too long ago, I forget what it was. There was a teaser at the end. People were trying to figure out what this teaser was for, and you know it. And you know it still brought Nintendo Power out to the forefront. But I think that you're absolutely right. Nowadays, you know, with the internet, it is too easy to look up a map to a dungeon or how to beat a certain enemy, or if you're stuck on anything, just a quick Google search and there it is, you've got it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for a lot of things like Nintendo Power and so on like that, you know, it's just very hard for them to compete nowadays in a market like that where all the information they give you is free, basically.
Right.
You know, there's only so much they can do with new updated messages or updated, you know, information for new games and so on. So it is pretty sad. I mean, even, you know, and I think it's going that way for a lot of print. I mean, you know, even books and so on from there. I mean, I know that myself. I just had a story published in a book, and you know, it's available in both the paperback and a digital version. Almost everybody I know is getting digital versions of. I mean, it's one little 3-page story, so it's not a big deal. But you know, it's cheaper
mm-hmm.
to get it that way, and you know, it's more convenient for them. And I think that's the way a lot of the industry is going, and we're seeing that with games now too, going that virtual route, like with New Super Mario Brothers 2.
Right. Yeah, and it's I mean, back onto the digital age that we live in. I mean, I honestly can't remember the last magazine that I purchased. I mean, aside from the Game Informer subscription that was nearly forced upon me by the GameStop employees, but other than that, I mean, I haven't bought an EGM or a GamePro or anything like that. It's all, you know, just the internet. I mean, it's because it's all right there. It's instant.
Yeah, it's there, and it really takes away the thrill of, you know, when I used to be, like, you know, a lot on a ton of gaming message boards, you know, like, the message boards to certain gaming magazines, like Gamers.com, which was for Ziff Davis and, like, you know, EGM and Computer Gaming Monthly, all mm-hmm. the, like, all their subsidiaries. I would always, like, get so excited when, like, yes, the scores for this, I just got the magazine in the mail, you know, there'd be a title, like, here's the scores if you don't read them, or here's the scan of the cover.
Right.
And it made me, like, magazines like EGM and Nintendo Power practically made me waiting by, like, staring at my parents' mailbox. Just a frustrating experience. And even at the times, like, when our mail route would change, like, oh, I'd be at school, and it would be coming in probably, like, you know, I'd be very fidgety. I'm like, okay, I gotta go home. And I drive home, and I just hope when I open up the mailbox, my new magazine would come in. I swear, if staring at one's mailbox was an Olympic sport, I probably would have more golds than Michael Phelps right now. I seriously would. I mean, good God, I wasted so much time to the point where I could actually just, like, it's coming in today. Oh, it's just bills.
Yeah. Well, so now do you miss this now? Do you miss buying magazines? Because from what I can gather, it doesn't sound like any of us are really doing that much anymore. I mean, just because of all that information that we can get on the internet. I mean, what would it take to continue to purchase a magazine from any publication?
I like having the copy of a magazine in my hands because I just like the feel and texture, and I love, like, the layouts, and I love the, you know, the page layouts. Now, not to say that you can't get that on an iPad, for mm-hmm. instance, when you have all these digital issues coming in. But for me, who doesn't own one, I mean, if I'm, like, waiting in a dentist, like, even in a hospital or a dentist's office, I always pick up a magazine and just read it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's quintessential. It's one thing I can't really, like, you know, it goes hand in hand whenever for me to actually look at this. But when you have a digital age like this that's been evolving more, like, you know, with technology just evolving by the minute over the last 10 to 15 years, does this mean an end for magazines? One could say yes, but you have to look at certain magazines like Time and even Game Informer. They're redesigning their own websites to actually, you know, accommodate for this change. Take Game Informer, for instance. I love the redesign of their website. One thing that I liked about it is it's clean, it's cut, and one, it's easily streamlined to the point where actually you can find everything.
Right.
And, you know, even when you get an issue, you're still wanting to read the issue.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, and I mean, there is something to be said about having that physical media right in your hands. You know, I mean, there's nothing like turning a page. I remember I got my mom a Kindle for Christmas one year, and now she really likes it. She really enjoys it. But for a while there, she was still going to the library, still purchasing books from Barnes and Noble because she just liked having the book there in her hand. And eventually, you know, convenience ended up beating out her like, you know, having like a book in her hands. But I don't know, there is something to be said about having the copy like that in your hand, you know.
Yeah, I agree, and I think again, you just hit it on the head. It's the convenience. You know, I think we all love having that actual you know, the actual paper in our hands, being able to flip through the pages, know exactly what we're finding and it and know exactly what's in there, read about it and so on from there. But I think that the convenience now is, you know, wherever you're at, you have the information in front of you. And unfortunately, you know, you're not always going to have that magazine in front of you. And that's kind of a sad part of the way we're going. But I think we are going to see it more and more. I definitely think there's still a place for print. And I hope it stays around for a long, long time. But I think that we're going to see a more and more go towards that digital route.
Yeah, right. And yeah, you know, I mean, we used to learn a lot about video games from these magazines. I remember mm-hmm. even in it was a Game Informer that I learned about The World Ends With You. And now we're a couple of years later, we're already seeing a sequel teaser site, but it's on a website, not in a magazine anywhere. So that's kind of telling right there. And yeah, actually, Scott, I'm pretty sure you wrote this article up about the World Ends With You 2 having a teaser site up. And so I don't know. I played the first game and I really enjoyed it. I don't really know much about the new one that's coming out. I mean, Scott, why don't you lead us into this one? What is this all about?
Well, you know, nobody – I don't think anybody really knows much about the new one at all. I mean, the site just kind of popped up with a timer that counts down, it seems to kind of speed up and slow down with the time. Just went to the site, so you might have heard some of the music there in the background. So I was going to check and see what time it's at, but they've got obviously, as you heard, music in the background from the game.
Uh-huh.
And it seems that the more it counts down, the more of the background or the graphics on the site they're showing up, so you get to see a little bit more, get a bit better feel for it, and even the music is kind of evolving. At first, it was kind of the music you could almost not tell what it is. There was a hint of The World That Ends With You in it, but you didn't know for sure. The one thing that gave it away was the font on the timer that's counting down, and the fact that the timer was counting down, sort of what you see with Niku. But there's not a lot known about it. It was kind of just came out of nowhere almost. One thing that with the Kingdom Hearts fan base, you know, The World That Ends With You is a big game. You know, anybody who says who plays the Kingdom Hearts series, it's almost like The World That Ends With You is one of the games that either they've played and they love, or they just can't find it anywhere. It's almost impossible to find. I believe I found my copy on Amazon, and I've had it here sitting on a shelf since I purchased it probably 3-4 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't even put it in yet because there's just such a backlog of games that I'm trying to play that I was going to wait on that one, and then I was hoping to get it done before Dream Drop Distance came out because, you know, The World That Ends With You characters are in there,
right,
kind of in place of some of the Final Fantasy characters. And within the Final Fantasy messaging boards and various sites and so on, there was rumors that because the characters are showing up in Dream Drop Distance, there has to be a sequel. There has to be something coming out. It's just too much of a coincidence.
Right.
And here it is. So, you know, I'm not sure what it's going to be about, but it'll definitely be interesting to see. And I try to check it every day and try to log in and see how the site's progressing and so on. So,
right.
Hopefully within the next couple of days we'll find out a little bit more.
Yeah, and you know what? From what I played in the first game, I mean, it was just one of the most, if not the most, unique game I played like RPG wise in the last couple of years. I mean, there was just nothing else like it. I mean, combat was spanned across two different screens, so that was really, really crazy. I mean, so you had to control one character on the top screen, one character on the bottom screen with your stylus. So that was something that's never really been done before, and it actually took quite a bit of time to really master it, but once you did, like, there was just nothing else like it. You just started to get into a flow. It was really fantastic. And then on top of that, the way that you leveled up and the way that instead of like armor, you would wear clothes, and then you would there would be different fashions, so you can actually match them up with the different fashions to get different bonuses. And it was just pretty fantastic. It was really out there, but if for anybody that took the time to play it, it was just a great, great experience. I mean, Harrison, have you ever played the DS original?
I have not. I'm in the same, well, kind of the same boat as you. I never knew the existence of this. I mean, I never did get a chance to play this. Never mm-hmm. did. So I am completely blind going into this. Whenever when I saw this note on our Google Docs when it came down, I'm like, okay, I'm not sure about this one.
Well, you guys really should, if you have still a DS laying around. I know obviously Scott already has the game, but just pick it up. I mean, I'm sure you can find it for cheap on Amazon or even at GameStop if you can find a used copy, because it's definitely something that should be experienced. And this goes to all of our listeners as well. I mean, I can't give it enough credit. It's just really, really good. And some of the best parts of the game is the music as well. I mean, it just really sticks with you. You'd be singing the songs that are in the game for days and days and days on end without even knowing why. I mean, it's just really good. It's a great, great game. So
definitely.
So yeah, I guess we'll just have to wait for the site to kind of update to see what this is all about. It's almost been certainly confirmed that it is The World's End With You, because it has some of the theme songs from the game, original game, have been seemingly remixed on the website. Some people have been, some sleuths have deducted this by now. But I just really already can't wait for the sequel to come out. I imagine it's going to be 3DS, but who knows? Maybe it's going to be a Vita title. Maybe it's going to be a Wii U game. I mean, it'll be interesting how it ends up panning out, you know?
Oh yeah, I would hope that it's either going to be a Wii U or a 3DS game. I hope they don't go to a different system in that. Although Square Enix, it wouldn't be the first time they've done something like that.
Right, right. Well, that kind of concludes our news. I mean, hasn't really been much going on as of late. I mean, the summer months are pretty dry when it comes to that. But hey, we're about to get kicking into high gear here pretty soon with September right around the corner and the holiday season following behind it. So it's going to be an interesting next couple of months, that's to say the least.
Yeah, better start doing this. Gotta start doing those pre-orders, which I've been doing, like, feverishly. I mean, anytime when Amazon puts up, like, a decently good deal, be it's, like, a game code, for instance, for, like, DLC, or one thing I always never turn away from, $10 in-store credit.
Oh, yeah.
So
best. That's the best. And actually, now that you actually reminded me of the Hyrule Historia that the Amazon had up there, and it's pretty cheap for $20. They have it on sale for those of you that are interested in getting that book when it releases in July. Speaking of print, January. Speaking of print, I already got my pre-order for that.
Yeah, that's going to be. I mean, I'm a huge, huge fan of coffee table books, even though this doesn't really classify as one, but when I have my own home, whatever, I usually have, like, a lot of good classy coffee table books, you know, one's about skyscrapers, one's about bridges, you know, just a lot of this big, sprawling, you know, big posters of, like, these, like, of architecture, and I feel like this would be a good one to decide on there. Hyrule Historia. I mean, not only are we getting good translations of, you know, every bit of the page, I mean, a couple of the scans we saw of the Japanese version, a lot of the notes that, like, the hand-drawn sticky notes that have on, like, the concept art, those are also going to be, you know, translated, you know, word for word as well. So mm-hmm. We're getting the whole kit and caboodle with this one as well. But I am really, really excited for this one, and I definitely got to be setting my pre-order for that because, you know, who knows how long that's going to last.
Yeah, that's right. Well, so I guess we can kind of end off the show like we normally do with some of the games that we've been playing, and it's been a couple of months now, or not a couple of months, a couple of weeks, so hopefully we've been playing some different titles. I guess I'll kick it off because I mean, I've been playing New Super Mario Bros. 2 for one. I finished up the last story finally, which I've been having the hardest time writing a review for because it's such an interesting game. Like, I don't know exactly if I want to score it, if I want to just kind of talk about it, maybe. But that game ended up being really great. The ending was completely worth it. It was a fantastic finish to that one. So those have been really my main Nintendo ones that I've been playing. And then I actually got into Red Dead Redemption as of late. I don't know why.
Oh,
yeah.
How are you enjoying that so far?
I'm really actually liking it. I think I'm pretty close to the end, and it's just crazy open world. Like, most of my time has just been spent skinning animals and saving peasants or whatever. I mean, it's just
the one good thing I've heard, well, the one, you know, like, a convincing, like, praise that I hear about this game is that it's storytelling. Mm-hmm. That's one bit that I never got around to playing it. I always watched my friends play the game. Mm-hmm. I mean, be it if they're lassoing a innocent civilian and then tie them to a train track and letting the train run them over, which of course got a good laugh out of me and a horrified look from my friend's mom.
Yeah. Well, I can't deny that I have not done that before. Because I totally have.
No, you're thinking, like, I totally haven't done that. I'm an outstanding citizen. Wink, wink, no.
But yeah.
Yeah, I found myself starting over quite a few times after I did something similar.
Yeah. No, it's a pretty good game. It's not – there definitely are a lot of technical hiccups. Like, there's been one time where one of the characters that I was supposed to be following actually disappeared into the earth, like, just all you can see was the head of his horse and his head sticking out from the ground, which is totally bonkers. Like, I just had to all I could do was laugh and reload my save. But it was, you know, there's a lot of weird things like that in that game, which is to be expected from not only a Rockstar game, but from a game that's so big, so open world like that. But yeah, it's fun. It really is a great experience. It's fun.
After you play that, you'll have to pick up the sequel, The Undead Nightmare.
Uh-huh, yeah. I know. I'm really excited for that, actually.
Now, wasn't that technically just an expansion of it, or was it just like, okay, it's the same game, but they've added the undead to it?
Yeah, it's technically an expansion, but you can actually buy a retail copy of it, which I actually have because I bought it for cheap at GameStop. It was like 10 bucks. So you can get it standalone, or you can download it at the DLC, or even the Game of the Year edition comes with both, so...
Right, and it does take place kind of after the end of the first game, so it's a couple years later.
Right, right. So, Scott, what have you been playing then? Have you been playing anything interesting as of late?
Well, you know, I've been really busy with work, so I haven't had a lot of free time to really play anything in particular. But I've been playing a lot of miscellaneous games. Obviously, Dream Drop Distance. I'm still kicking away at that. I'm really taking my time with it to make sure that I'm not going to miss anything on it. Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of people are playing it. They're beating it as quickly as possible, then going back and trying to pick up what they might have missed. And I'm really, really taking my time with it to try to get everything all at once in one sitting.
Right.
But I also picked up recently. It's a Retro Duo Portable. It's like a little handheld game system.
Yeah, I've seen those.
Nintendo,
yeah.
Super Nintendo, and also got an adapter for Sega Genesis. So it's kind of a cool little handheld, and I've actually been playing a lot of the old games. Like right now, I've actually got Super Mario All-Stars in here, and going through 1, 2, and 3, and also the Lost Levels to go through each of those, and it's awesome. I mean, it's on the go. You know, if my kids are playing, the Xbox or the PlayStation or one of the other game systems we have, I can pick this up, go sit in the living room, go sit at a table, and just kind of play some of the older games. So. Mm-hmm. The Mario Brothers games, picked up a copy of Toe Jam and Earl recently for Sega Genesis, so playing that. So neat. Really, a lot of really cool old games.
Awesome. Yeah, that's awesome. I kind of looked at that, and I was really, really contemplating picking one up, and now I might have to, but I don't know. It's just with all this holiday stuff coming on, maybe I'm going to save my money for an extra Wii U game or two. I don't know. I haven't decided yet, I guess.
Exactly. Well, what I like about it, it's fairly inexpensive. I think it was around $50, so yeah. It wasn't too bad. It came with the Nintendo adapter, so you can play Nintendo and Super NES. The Genesis adapter was, I think, about $20, $30, so it was a little bit more for that one, and I probably could have lived without it, but I want to replay the Phantasy Star series starting from 1, and I've got 1 through 4. Actually, 1 is for the Master System, so I have to play that separately, but 2, 3, and 4. But, the only complaint I have is the cartridges are a little bit loose in the system, so they do wiggle a little bit. So, But the Sega Genesis and the Super Nintendo, it's not too bad. But if you put the adapter for the Nintendo game in there and have the actual cartridge itself, it's a good 8 to 12 inches tall at that point.
Good.
So it's pretty big, yeah. But... it just playing the things on the go, the games on the go, it's pretty awesome. And the screen, it's not a huge screen. It's I believe about a 3-inch screen, 4-inch screen, and but it's overall it's got pretty good quality on it. So I'm pretty pleased.
Awesome, awesome. Well, have you been playing anything, Harrison? Have you played any Nintendo related games?
Well, nothing Nintendo related. Well, aside, if you want to count me going back, I'm continuing to go through a bunch of my Game Boy Advance titles.
Oh, awesome.
Like, I went through, Link to the Past, Metroid Zero Mission through hard, on hard mode, and just Super Mario Brothers Advance 4, Super Mario Brothers 3, which is, geez, a long mouthful.
Yeah, right? It's got a colon and then, like, just so many other words. It's like, could you just figure something easier out? Thanks, guys.
Yeah, just call it Super Mario Bros. 3 Advance. That's easier. But, Scott, I've been through work so much to the point where I can't really play as much. I mean, right now, I'm just kind of gearing up for the fall's releases, just setting out the time where I'm going to be playing this, and... I have one confession to make. I praise the game Rayman Origins so much and play through it, but I haven't finished it.
Oh, wow.
That's
something that's on your bucket list, then. You got to finish that guy up.
I haven't finished it. I have not finished it. I don't know why, but I think this is freeware. It's freeware, but it's going to be available on iOS and just in time for the election season, which... of course, I'm about to rip my phone out, my landline phone out. Well, no, seriously, okay, between you know, pollsters calling me and job rejections through email, it's a race between, you know, my computer and my parents' landline phone of which is going to infuriate me more and which one's going to be thrown out the window first.
No, I'm in the same boat. It's ridiculous how many calls I've been getting. It's like, really? I just don't really care right now. Thank
you. Know, at the point, I'm taking like an empty like mint wrap or whatever, and I'm putting it over to my phone. I'm like, what's that? I can't hear you. I'm breaking up. But I digress. Okay, for all you know, you guys know Chair Entertainment. They did Infinity Blade, Infinity Blade 2.
I know. The one that you're talking about. I wanted to pick that up.
Yeah, and the name of this game is called Vote, with four exclamation points, the game. And it's in the same style. It's in the same style of using, you know, of touch-based like fighting mechanics, what you have with like Infinity Blade. And it pits current President Barack Obama with GOP candidate Mitt Romney in a style fighting game, which I believe I'm looking at these screenshots. You have Mitt Romney in, usual attire, like, you know, business attire. And you have Barack Obama, who looks like he is dressed up like Uncle Sam. And as his weapon, well, from the looks of it, I think Mitt Romney has a microphone, as you know, instead of in place of a sword or a spear, and Barack Obama has a patriotic colored popsicle.
Yeah, perfect.
This is the okay. This is what Chair's giving me instead of a Shadow Complex 2.
Yeah. But you want to know what? I bet you this game is going to sell millions of copies because it's so funny. It's just a great little fun concept there.
Exactly.
Yeah, that should be good. Well, I'm glad that you guys are in kind of the same boat that I am. Well, not glad, but it's funny to see how the seasons change, because work and school and everything is just killing the heck out of me too. It's just trying to find a post-grad job and, you know, all that fun stuff. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, and as long as we produce this little show out for our listeners, because I know that, like, we're trying to get this out on a weekly basis, but, you know, there's usually a lot of personal stuff. I know Scott has a family to raise, and, of course, you got, we're all doing all sorts of things.
Yes. if we miss a week or two, sorry, guys, but, you know, that's life. But we're trying. We're trying as hard as we can, because we like producing these shows as much as you all like listening to them. So I'm glad that you all have downloaded the show, and hopefully you all are voting for us on iTunes or rating us on iTunes and all those fun places, and telling your friends about us. I mean, if you guys like us, you know, try and spread the word out. The only way we can keep doing this is if we could, we kind of get you guys telling us what you want us to talk about. So email us, Twitter us, you know, all that fun stuff. Get us on all the usual channels. So I think that's about it for the show this week. Let's end off by giving us the places where they can contact us. You can find me on Twitter at, @Infendo_Eugene. You can also obviously comment on our articles on Infendo.com. That's where we'd like to write on. So, well, what about you, Harrison? Give us your stuff.
My Twitter's handle, as I like to call it, is @HMilfeld, HMILFELD. And you can find me out there just basically just chattering about the gaming industry with an iron fist. So that's if you like that, or the occasional me whining about my job prospects. So pick your poison.
Yeah, right. What about you, Scott? I know. What's your Twitter?
Definitely. The Twitter is EsselPratt. It's ESSELPRATT. PRATT. And the, find us on Infendo or Nerdy.com or, mm-hmm. At Facebook at EsselPratt Writing.
Yeah, there you go. And yeah, guys, just please reach out to us. If you want us to talk about anything on the show, let us know. Just if you want to say hi to us on Twitter, we enjoy getting those comments as well. And with that, I mean, that's just about it for the week. So
I do want to say one last thing about the whole Nintendo Power situation. The one bit that really kind of concerned me is, well, we're seeing so many with so many magazine or newspaper closings coming through each year. The one thing you have to realize is that, we're not only losing a magazine as part of our childhood, but, you know, there are people there who work their, like, their butts off to, you know, give us such a good, like, a good magazine over the years. Sure, the staff has changed, like, you know, since the late 1980s, but, you know, those who kept putting the magazine out on the map ever since it changed hands from, you know, Nintendo to Future Publishing, you know, there are people out there, you know, writers, designers, you know, editors, and even interns that just lost their jobs there. And, you know, one thing I have to say, I mean, if you're a fan of Nintendo Power or know somebody out there like that, you know what? I mean, the best of luck to, you know, all of you trying to find, you know, hopefully you can guys find a new job. And, you know, I'm looking forward to probably this, the last issue, you know, of such a wonderful, wonderful magazine that I've don't know what I'd probably do without at this point.
Yeah, well said, well said. I mean, it really is sad for not only us consumers, but the people that are losing their jobs, like you said as well. So, yeah, if I really encourage all of our listeners to go out and purchase the last couple of Nintendo Powers before it ceases to exist. So, well, with that, thank you, Scott. Thank you, Harrison. Thank you, listeners, for listening to Nintendo Radio. And that's been it for the week. So, see you all next time.
All right, see you later.